flowed with the sensational and missed the practical. Nod your head if you understand that. And so I want to pause here. So I'm going to go back to Thessalonians just for a second, just for a minute, and do that. Then we'll pick back up and we'll jump back in, Lord willing, to chapter 7, if that's okay, everybody. I know I promised you, and that's what I was ready to do, and I'm just this is where I'm at. Let's read a few of these verses. You're willing and able, stand with me this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, when they shall say peace and safety and sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. He says destruction, verse 3, travail like a woman who all of a sudden hits the labor pains. And then he says like a thief, when you're not looking, he comes. Verse 5, why? You're all children of the light, children of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. The contrast there. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch, be sober. If you underline, highlight in your Bible, you underline, highlight that. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunk, drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God's not appointed us to wrath. If you're thrilled by that statement, say amen. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's favorite expression there for Jesus, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep. We should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify, build up one another, even as ye also do. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help me this morning. I pray you'd focus me in. Help me not be distracted. Help me to understand the task. Help me to preach your word clearly, enunciate well. Thank you. Thank you for what you want to do in our lives. Thank you for what you've reminded me of. And I pray even now, Lord, we would accurately exposit the text. I pray that we would hear. I pray, Lord, we wouldn't daydream, wouldn't mess around on our phones. I pray we'd take good notes. I pray we, even now as I'm praying, that they would pray, that we would pray. Lord, speak to my heart and ask you to help us. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, would you work right now in our midst and do what I cannot, and that is convict and call people to yourself. And I pray you'd change us. I pray you'd help us even now, and I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. There's a word that I did not grow up hearing. I heard maybe a little bit as a teenager, but literally in the last 10, 15 years, 20 years, I've heard it a good bit. And it's that word prepper. It's that word prepper. When I was growing up, if you said someone was prepper, I thought you'd be mispronouncing preppy. It meant you had a members-only jacket and some other things like that. But a prepper. Has anybody ever heard the word prepper? A prepper. Anybody know someone and you would consider them a prepper? Prepper. A few of you? Eight of you? Some of you are pointing? Okay. So a prepper. Prepper. Does the word prepper or a person who's a prepper, is that a positive thing or a negative thing? How many of you think it's a positive thing? They're a prepper. Prepper. All right. A few of you. How many of you it's a negative thing? Negative thing. If you hear prepper and you think secessionist or anarchist, I would assume that'd be a negative term. I laughed at that because I'm thinking, how many preppers I know? I started rattling off and I said, no, that's not true. I've known preppers for a long time. I grew up in Eastern North Carolina. I grew up where, with regularity, there was going to be a hurricane come through. With regularity, you were going to lose power for a couple of days. It didn't happen often, but as a kid growing up, there'd be a bad storm coming, bad hurricane, and we'd go in and clean the tub and wipe it down with some Clorox when we got done, make sure it was as free as it could be, fill the bathtub up with water, because this is way before water jugs were fairly common, bottled water was fairly common, we'd make sure we have that. We'd make sure that nobody touched the freezer because the power went out. Man, you just leave the freezer alone. Hopefully we'll make it through a few hours or a day or half a day, whatever we need to do. I've thought about it. I said, man, I've grown up with that mentality all my life. All our kids, there's an inspection when they come home. Inspection. Do you still have the can of Fix-A-Flat where you can find it? And for a while there, we had so many flat tires, I just started buying those pumps that you plug into the cigarette lighter. So we got four automobiles in the family. We got four of those things. We got four Fix-A-Flats. we got four inflators, and we know where the jack is and all. I make them go through the whole routine. Why? Because you're going to have a flat. And Allison going back and forth from Charlotte, man, it's a bad road, some of that. And want to make sure you have those kind of things. We want to make sure that you have some cash on you, even though my children don't do that. My wife barely does that. I still think it's a good idea. Good idea to have a little cash. I've just had that mindset for a moment or two. And you say, well, I'm not. Well, everybody became a prepper during the pandemic, right? Because everybody was like, I must have toilet paper. And some of you hadn't bought toilet paper in 3 years. And because you bought so much stuff, people were calling each other going, we got to have that. I was really sick during that time, so I didn't catch all the mania at the start of it like some of you did. But I never did figure out what COVID had to do with going to the bathroom. But I appreciate the sentiment that everybody had, and they were there. We understand those kind of things. At our house, starting January 1, we put a folder out on the counter, and anything tax-related, any giving statement, anything like that, we just go in there. We don't worry. We don't try and lose it. We've figured it out through the years. It just goes in there. It all gets shoved in there somewhere in the start of February. We'll go through and sort it, make sure we got all our stuff. Why? Because we're doing those kind of things. This is important. Well, if all that's important, and you nod your head, good idea to make sure you got a spare tire. Good idea to make sure you got some things. Good idea to make sure you got a phone charger in the car that plugs into the DC outlet, and you can keep your phone charged. If you're going somewhere and it's cold, make sure you got a blanket in the car. Those kind of things. You understand that on stuff that doesn't matter as much. Then you ought to understand, man, Jesus is coming. How can I be prepared for that? How should I be prepared? Well, how should I be thinking? I said to a couple of men yesterday, as good as I know, hopefully, some of the scripture, there's still a part of me goes, sun goes up, sun goes down. People are born, people die. The world turns just like it's always turned. Nothing's going to change. We're so far away from some things. And I get so enamored with the day-to-day that I wonder sometimes, have I really seriously thought through? He may come today. I may meet him today. So that's living morbidly. I'm not speaking the morbidity or the macabre side of this. I'm simply saying, man, there needs to be in our hearts an urgency and an expectation that he's come, and there needs to be a sense of being prepared. So if you'll allow me, let me walk you through that. Let me give you a few principles here that'll help you. How many of you liked a little bit of help in how to be prepared? How would you like to do that? Would that be okay with everybody? All right, number one, don't forget, I've given you that list there. Number one, don't be asleep when Jesus comes. Don't be asleep. Don't be not just non-asleep. Every time I mention sleep in church, some of you sit up straighter and all, and because when you sit down, that switch there under your right hip, you know, activates and you go to sleep. I'm not speaking about physically sleep here. He's using it as a figure. Don't be asleep when Jesus comes. Don't be off guard when he is there. Have you ever arrived at somebody's house and you had the date wrong, or they had the date wrong and they were stunned to see you? Or somebody calls, say, I'm on my way. You're like, on your way for what? And we're supposed to have dinner. We're supposed to have lunch. I did that last year sometime. A guy called me. He said, hey, I've got the table. Are you almost here? I'm like, almost where? And he said, we're supposed to have lunch at 12. I said, I'll be there directly. He said, did you forget? I said, I'd rather not answer. And don't be asleep. Don't be asleep. Why don't be asleep? He gives us three reasons here. He said, number one, the believer is not in darkness. He's not a child of the night. He's a child of the light, and he is a child of the day. You're there in verse 4. Go back to it, if you would, and read with me. Read with me. You, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of the light, children of the day. You are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Don't be asleep when he comes. The word overtake means to come upon or take hold of by surprise. By surprise. You are not to be surprised. Not to be surprised. If you tune me out for the rest of the way, write somewhere on your notes, write somewhere in your app, if you're taking notes, whatever. Right. How can I do this daily? And one of the things I want to do is give you a little something you can say, it may be today. You learn to pray that, maybe today. Jesus may come today. Those of you like Michaels and Hobby Lobby, you can find that. You can put that on a wall somewhere. You can take an index card, you can write that in pretty marker, you can put that on your mirror in the bathroom, you look at, he may come today. I need to speak to that guy about the Lord because he may come today. I need to be reading my Bible because he may come today. I need to be right with that person that I'm wrong with because he may come today. You need to be reminded. Why? Because you don't need to be off guard. When he comes, do not be asleep. The believer, he says, the believer is not in darkness. He's not in the darkness of ignorance. You know. We've spent a good bit of time walking through the beautiful passages about Jesus in Revelation. You have heard. You know. You can go back on the YouTube channel and you can look at those things. You can look and your heart can be thrilled. You can go back and listen to last week's message and you can be horrified again at the judgment that's about to come and the cliffhanger where we left it off at the sixth seal there. You can see those things. You are not ignorant. You're not in the darkness of sin. Isn't it strange? What concerns and thrills you bores other people. Some folks, man, they couldn't be bothered to get out of bed. Couldn't be bothered to quit drinking. They're so slung over, man, so slung over they can't even think about the possibility of coming to church. Coming to church, much less being right with God. Being right with God, you're not in the darkness of ignorance. You're not in the darkness of sin. God has changed your life. You're a child of his now. You're a child of the light. Child of light. You belong to him. You're a child of the day. You are part of that light of the world, the city that's set on a hill. You belong to him. You belong to him. I want to park here for a little while, but let me just move on. Don't be asleep. Don't be overtaken by surprise. Number two, don't be asleep when he comes, but don't be asleep before he comes. Don't be asleep before he comes. I thought really Forrest was going to steal my sermon and start talking about resolutions and already missing them and all those kind of things. Anybody in here one day turned into a week and a week turned into a habit? You're like, how did I get here? Andrea stepped out. I was teasing Tiffany. She'd been peddling those Girl Scout cookies, you know, dress up a little girl, make her look real sad. I'll give you all my money if you do that. And I said, keep those things away from Andrea. Now, to be fair, Andrea's already bought some. She brought him home and said, take these things away from me. I'm like, look, we've been married a long time. I don't know what to do here. So you do this every time. So anyway, so like, just keep them away because I don't need any drama at my house. And I need any drama. But if my wife wants cookies, she can have cookies. Nod your head if you understand that, man. I'm just trying to help her out. And I was having a little fun. And then I realized I posted that online. I'm like, I'm about to get hate from people. I shouldn't have done that. And people are like, you trying to manage your wife? I'm not. Anybody been married as long as I have? You're like, I understand this problem here. And so I had a little fun. Andre laughed at it this morning. And I think. So if I'm sleeping outside tonight, you know, I didn't do right. But when we're here, don't be asleep. Don't be asleep before he comes. Don't let your bad habit, don't let you go, you know, I'm going to start reading the Bible soon. I'm going to start praying soon. I'm going to start attending midweek soon. I'm going to find a group to join soon. I'm going to speak to my neighbor about Jesus soon. No. Don't be asleep. Instead, he gives us these ideas. He says to watch and to be sober. To watch, I think I gave you the definition. Watch means to be alert and on guard to live for Jesus. It's not just the idea of hypervigilance. Not the idea your adrenaline is really pumping. It's simply, man, there. Again, I like the note card. I like putting it in your car. I like maybe putting it if you got a Bible marker and as you're reading, you go, maybe today. He may come today. When's the last time as you were praying, you said, Lord, I might come meet you today. You might come today. We live like we're going to live forever. We live like everybody else is going to live forever. We do things so foolishly sometimes. Don't be asleep. Be sober. This is what matters. This is what matters. Righteousness means that I outwardly do what God has called me to do. Godliness is the idea that it's an inside out kind of thing. I think correct thoughts about him, and that influences. You could say practicality and theology if you want to. It's that idea. I do what I'm supposed to. If you're in the habit right now of excusing your bad habits, and you do some things, you say, well, God understands. You don't understand this word sober then. Man, you're to be a cut above. You're to be living holy. Why? Because he is coming back. He is going to return. He says, some do sleep. Some do sleep. The word others there. Others, some sleep like the others. You're in verse 6. Don't miss it. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Others, man, they don't care. They don't care. For years, the president of the Christian Law Association, David Gibbs Jr., he preached these big rallies, and he was always asked to preach a couple of sermons in particular. But one, he would preach, and he would cross-examine someone. He would act it out as a lawyer. And his thesis was, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I watched him preach it one night, 1,000 people in the crowd, and you could have heard a pin drop. Are you sleeping? Are you not in gear like others? Things of God no longer appeal to you. You're no longer alert, no longer alive to God. You no longer worship like you did. You no longer learn the scriptures and read the scripture. You no longer do anything for Jesus. Don't do that. Don't be like the others. Don't be like the others. He said some are identified. Look at verse 7. They sleep in the night. They're drunken. He switches. He goes from metaphor to reality. Metaphor, verse 6. Reality, verse 7. For they that sleep in the night, they that are drunk in the night. You can't help it. You assume people that are, it's nighttime, they're sleeping. Nod your head if that's when you should sleep, right? So, you know, all the people with young children are going, please make that so. You should be doing that. And the folks that are partying and drunk, what are they doing? Typically what? That's going to happen then. You understand, if you're this way, you're identifying with the group maybe you shouldn't be identifying with. Don't do that. This is what matters. This is what's important. The guy on the weather said the hurricane is coming up here and it's going to be straight line winds and it may spin off or tornado. Okay, fine. I'm going to get some dry goods. I'm going to make sure I got plenty of propane in case we need to use the grill. We're going to do this. We got the thing. And we're going to do as best we can because this is coming. This is coming. I'm going to check on the so-and-so. And I'm going to tell them, hey, we got these things. If you lose power, you can come over to our house. This is what we would do. We see it's coming. We know it's coming. And it's not just negative for the believer. It's what? The believer is, I will be with the Lord. But day turns to night. Night turns to day. The world keeps spinning. Don't be asleep before Jesus comes. But do be awake. Do be awake. Be sober. Be protected and put on the armor of God. How can I do that? I can do that. I gave you a little clue there, but I want to encourage you. Make sure you're doing that. We like to tease Eli from living up north, you know. He 20 degrees outside, and he walk around in short sleeves. And we're like, we get to raise some money and get this man a coat. And he's like, I'm fine. I went out the other day, forgot my coat. I stayed cold all day. I started to set some of my books on fire. And I went out to the truck just to get warm. I thought, and I'm there. I was absolutely, positively ill prepared. One of the things that's happened to me in the last 3 years is I've become uber sensitive to sunlight. It didn't take hardly any time at all. And so I kept forgetting to bring hats, and now I just keep hats in every vehicle I got. Very good guy. I look like I'm about to set up a roadside stand. So I got straw hats. I got hats that supposedly got chemicals in or protectants in them. I got hats that are vented. And, if you need a hat, I got a hat. I got a hat, and they're all back there, and they're all there. Why? Because I just have to be prepared. I have to be prepared because if I'm going to be outside, I got to have that on. I have become the person who puts on sunscreen every day, and I feel just as girly and as mad about that as I can be, but it's just a fact of my life. I got to wear that stuff, and so I found something that doesn't stink and it doesn't do too bad, and I buy it, and of all things, it's made for bald people. And anyway, but I can tolerate it, and so if you look at my little stand of medicine there beside my stuff there, it says Be Bald Cream. And just but everything else I didn't agree with, so I've got this stuff. If they go out of business, I'll just have to I don't know what I'll do. And I'll start smelling like coconut oil is what I'll do. I reckon that other sunscreen. And we're here. Some of you wrote that down. It's good stuff. And we're here. We understand all those things. But about half the time, we go out spiritually naked, don't we? We hadn't thought once about putting on the armor of God. We hadn't thought about putting on the helmet of salvation and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. He only mentions a couple of them. He's just reminding him the way to do this is get on God's armor. Get on God's armor. Make sure you're doing that. I get it, you need to be at work on time, but you may want to get up earlier so you can be in the Word and get some armor on. You ever figure out, man, you go out and you're not ready for things, and you start about an hour or two in, you're starting to lose your testimony because you're not ready? Get ready. Be awake. You ever hit lunch and you laughed at three jokes, man, that were completely inappropriate? Somebody blasphemed God, you didn't say a peep, and you realize, you know, it's been a day, 2 days, 3 days since I put on God's armor. I need to be ready. Be awake. Be awake. Occasionally I get hit upside the head by sin or temptation or anything like that. And I'm fully ready. I mean, I'm just as ready as I can be. But I got news for most of the time when temptation really comes at me and distraction comes at me and all these other things, it's when I'm not ready. Anybody figure that out? A wounded gazelle is a lot more attractive to a lion. And when I'm not wearing God's armor, man, I can be in a mess fast. Put on the armor of God. Be sober. Be protected. You can do this. You have this. Why should we do this? You still with me? I got one or two more. You still with me? Number four, remember why. Why am I supposed to stay awake? God saved me. I got money in the bank. Nobody's real sick. It doesn't matter. Why should I do this? Remember, you don't have to sweat all that stuff we've been talking about with the four horsemen and everything. You're going to be with the Lord. He's not appointed you to go through that stuff. You can rejoice in that because you're not dreading that. Dreading that, you can walk around going what? Christ died for you, Christ died for you, Christ died for you. In your sin, in your mess, in your stupor, in your all the things that are there. Our friend Josh Ty sent me a note. He said he tries to on Friday have a pastoral appointment. They're running 800, 1,000, I think, right now. And a fella come. He said, I want all that stuff you've been talking about. He said, but I'm not the right kind of person for Jesus. Josh said, I just got tears in my eyes. Josh said, what do you mean? He said, well, he's listed a whole bunch of stuff. He said he was sitting there with his Bass Pro Shop hat on. A little out of place in Vegas. He said, let me tell you. He said, and I started walking through the adulterers and the prostitutes and the liars and the tax cheats. Started walking through the folks that denied Christ. Started talking to the folks, woman taking an adultery and standing before Jesus with little to no clothes on in a setup. He said, you know what happened to all those folks? God changed all their lives. He said, you're exactly the kind of person that Jesus died for, just like I'm exactly the kind of person. He said, and the guy took his hat off. He said, you mean that? He said, he did, and he spent the next few minutes sharing the gospel with him. He said, they sanctified the corner table there at a Starbucks somewhere outside of Las Vegas. He said, and the guy gave his heart to Jesus. He's going to a new believers class. He's going to be baptized in March, and he wanted me to know and remind me. He said, from Vegas to wherever, that these are all the kind of people that Jesus died for. And I just put my phone down and said, hallelujah and amen. Why are you to stay awake? Because there's a lot of people need to figure out, hey, Jesus died for you. You don't have to go through what's ahead. You don't have to go through what's ahead. Christ died for them. Christ died for us. And then what do? We wake up other folks. We wake up other folks. Two commands there. Two commands. Go back to verse 11. You still with me? Say amen. Verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, as also do you. Go to verse 10. I didn't read it. Who died for us, whether awake or asleep, we should live together with him. That's it. That's it. Part of what you and I get to do is we get to do this together. I'm not going to bug you to death to get your picture made. I want you to get your picture made because folks want to get something they can look at and pray for. And I'm all for it because it'll help us do life together. That's what a church is to do. You go back to January 1 to right now. Let me help you. How many folks have you talked to, text, email, phone in our church body that you're not physically related to? If the answer is not something you want to say out loud, let me encourage you that you can do a lot different the next 7 weeks. You can do life together. You can pray for one another. You can exhort one another. You can walk up to Doreen and say, Doreen, I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for your mom. I sure hate she's been sick and not doing well. You can walk up to Brother Wells and say, I lost my dad and lost my mom too. And ever since I heard of this, man, I've been praying for him, praying for you, your family, asking the Lord to help you. You can comfort. We get that with physical things. We get that with loss. But you can comfort folks and say, hey, man, I'm praying for you. I know you had this. Man, I'm praying for you and your family. Man, I'm doing this. I just want you. I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm asking God to help you. You can do that. There is such power that is there when we go and we go, I'm going to comfort you. Your business matters to me. You can edify one another. If I said passive aggressive, how many of you had a name pop up? Somebody who just backhanded, nasty, sharp. Yeah. Anybody? Please don't point. If there's somebody in the room. We get the opposite of that, right? We get the opposite. Tear down. Some of you are going, my mother, she calls and it's bad. Man, I appreciate you. I thank you. I want you to know. But you know we appreciate you. We love you. I'm glad for you. Build you up. By the way, sometimes that means just coming alongside and going, hey, I don't think you're going right. Well, let's go this way. But edify. One of my mentors says, not everybody can be a David, but everybody can be a Jonathan. You can come alongside people and make them better. Build them up. You help them grow. And see what God's doing in their heart, in their life. Wherefore, comfort yourselves. Why? Because you've been saved. Because you're not appointed to all the disaster and the trauma that's ahead. Because you're not of the day. You're not of the night. You're not hanging out with those people. You don't belong there. You belong somewhere else. And because you're doing what? Daily saying, God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for changing my life. I am ready to go out. It's not my understanding. I should ask Mark before I did this. When they came out with the Nomex hoods for firefighters, and Andre and I were serving at a church in North Carolina, and a couple of us in our church are still there. Actually, we'd go out to eat. None of us had any kids at the time, and found out that he not only helped work on that stuff, but he was constantly refining the Kevlar. He would go and do talks and seminars, and he was not, if they watch this, he'll forgive me, was not the most interesting dinner conversation partner, because he would rattle off the science off the top of his head, and I didn't understand any of it, and I would have to nod, and Andre kept kicking me under the table, change the conversation topic. And his wife would finally say, honey, they're almost in a coma, please stop talking about it. He was talking about the different uses for things and that. And we were talking, and we were Olive Garden somewhere, And he broke a breadstick. And I just remember this clear as day. It's been a long time now. He broke a breadstick and he said, "You know what, Preacher Rodney?" I went, "What?" He said, "We can do all the science in the world. We can weave it differently, fashion it. But it doesn't do any of them any good if they don't put it on." Took a bite of his thing, kept on going. And I went, "You build the best armor ever. You can have the greatest hood to put on underneath your gear. It doesn't do you any good at all unless you put it on. And you will never be prepared correctly for Jesus' return, for the end of all things, if you're not what? You're not putting it on." And I would encourage you today, wherever you are, wherever you land, wherever the Scripture has hit you, God, today, because I won't get ready for his return tomorrow. I got to get ready for it today. Would you pray with me right now? The most obvious thing is, if you've never asked Christ to save you from your sins, you're obviously not ready. And the fact that you've learned how to say no to him is a terrible thing. You've gotten comfortable telling the Holy Spirit of God no. You've gotten comfortable saying, "I'm okay in my sin." You've gotten comfortable saying, "I know judgment awaits me and awaits everyone else. And even though I know that, I'm still not going to get prepared." What you need to do today is get right with God. What you need to do is confess your sin. What you need to do is come broken and bruised and all kinds of things and whatever and say, "God, you died for people like me, and that is your desire today." Boy, I want to encourage you to do that this morning.